We're going to look at Romans chapter 7 today. No, chapter 6 still. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's next week. Let's pray. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all you provide for us. We thank you for this offering. And we are grateful for all that you provide. It is life to us. You are life to us. And so we offer this back to you only from what you've given us, and we pray, let it be used for your glory, let it be used for your purposes in everything, Lord, we pray. And I pray now just to open up our hearts to receive you, open up our hearts and our minds to know you as we look into your scriptures. I pray, let the things I say, but also the things we hear, be from you. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Okay, so we're continuing our little series through the book of Romans. we have got to chapter 6. Well, we've been in chapter 6 for quite a while, I'm sorry. I've taken 3 weeks over this. But it's a great chapter. I'm going to start reading from halfway through today, verse 15. And yeah, we're just going to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. So it's, verse 15 says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin which leads to death or obedience which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time of these things? What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So just a very brief summary. We've been looking in this book of Romans, and Romans is all about the gospel of God and how God, through Jesus, has saved us, and we are made right in God's sight. So if we put our faith in God, God looks at us and he says, "You're okay." And that's good news. Because most of us, when we look in the mirror, we don't say, "You're okay." Or most of us, when we ask our wife or a spouse or our children or whatever, and we ask them, "Am I okay?" And actually, there's always something where you're not okay, right? Yeah. But actually, in Christ, and we have to get this, in Christ, through faith in Christ, God says, and this is the way, and that's what we just celebrated in communion, if we put our faith in Christ, there is forgiveness from all sin. And God says, "You're right. You're okay. You're good." And that's the first section of Romans from chapters 1 to 5. And then chapter 6 starts to move in a slightly different direction. Another outworking of the gospel in our lives is that whilst we are right before God, we do realize that there are from day to day things where we're not okay. But actually what the other part of the gospel is that it's called sanctification. We talked about this a few weeks ago, this word sanctification, where God starts to work in us to bring transformation from the inside out and to change us and transform us, so that actually we are changed and we are renewed and we are different people. And I know many of us who've been Christians a while have stories of particularly of different areas of our life where I used to be like this, but now I'm like this because God has changed me and he has transformed me and I'm a different person now. And so that's the kind of thing that Paul is really addressing here. And we've also said that as we're going through this book of Romans, there is a lot of quoted verses. You may not know they come from Romans, but a lot of them come from Romans. A lot of sort of famous one-liners, if you like. And today we've got another, this whole chapter here ends with, for me, I don't know if it's famous to you, but this one was drilled into me in my previous church. And it is this, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And really it kind of presents us very simply with two options. Do you want death or do you want eternal life? You choose. Moses did a similar thing. If you know some of the things that Moses said in Deuteronomy 30, he spoke all these blessings that would be on Israel if they followed the law. And then he spoke a whole lot of curses that would be on them if they didn't follow the law. And he says in his Deuteronomy 30, he says, "I set before you today life and death, blessings and curse." And then he says, I mean, it's obvious, but then he says, "Therefore choose life." I mean, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? You know, what should we choose? Death or life? Let's just have a think about this. You know, which one's more appealing? But I want us to see today that the blessings that come with obedience to God don't come as a reward for being good. I think that's where the gospel turns the world's way of thinking on its head. The world will tell you, and religion will tell you, that if you're good, then you'll get good things from God. That's kind of how religion works. So that's why you find people trying their best to be the best kind of person and sort of saying to God, "Do you realize I've read my Bible all day today? That's how good I am, and now please bless me. Or did you realize I've given so much to the poor? Now bless me. Or do you realize that I've done this, that, and the other, and look how good I am? Now bless me." But the gospel says actually none of us are right when we look in the mirror. But actually it's only when we put our faith in God are we made right, yeah? So it's not to do with our works. It's the gift of God that we are right. It's his grace poured out in our lives. And we live in that righteousness. And the blessings that come to us because God is gracious to us. Simple as. And actually this living in God's righteousness, it's good to live in God's righteousness. The goodness that comes with being right with God is... it's good for us. It's almost, I would almost like to sort of go to the doctors and sort of put a poster up on the wall and say, "This is good for your health. Live in God's grace. It's good for your health." And similarly, death and the curse is not simply just a punishment for those who do wrong things. But it actually, Paul is sort of almost saying there is a state and a way of life which is death. Even though you're alive, you live in death because you're not living in God's grace. You're not living in this freedom from sin. So living in sin, Paul is saying here, is not good for us because it brings death, it brings curse. But living in God's righteousness, you share the blessings of eternal life. Let me read that verse again at the end. "The wages of sin is death. What you earn from sin is death. But what you get as a free gift from God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, the bit that I just read there, from verse 15, like the beginning of this chapter, Paul starts by asking a question. And he says this, "What then, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace?" Now he's hammering home a point. We looked at this a few weeks ago. And here's the question. It's like saying to God, "Now I'm a Christian and you've forgiven me and every sin that I commit you've forgiven. Can I just get away with anything now? Can I just do what I want? You know, I'm under God's grace. Can I make the most of it? Because I'm freely forgiven. Can I make the most of it? So I've always been a bit short of cash. So I'm just going to go and rob the bank. And I'm just going to give you thanks as I'm spending the cash because you've forgiven me for robbing the bank. That's okay now I'm a Christian, isn't it?" You know? Or, yeah, "I've always wanted to punch my neighbor because I find him really irritating. And I've known I shouldn't have done, but now I'm a Christian, I'm forgiven. So I can go ahead and just give him a good old wallop and, you know, I'll be forgiven. This is good." Okay, all right, okay, good, we're in the right place. Well, actually, I mean, this is what Paul's asking, because if you think about it, that you could go down that road, couldn't you? You know, I mean, you could, it's a bit like, you know, when you've got And I know what it's like to be a parent. You know, sometimes you think, okay, my children are forgiven. So they push the boundaries a bit further and you forgive them. But there's consequences, isn't there, with these things. But this isn't a completely bizarre view. I mean, this is some kind of understanding of God's grace, but I think it's a very weak understanding of God's grace. Because, by the way, we all do that. I don't know if you realize it. We all carry on doing stuff, thinking, well, I'm glad I'm forgiven. And I am glad I'm forgiven. Because at the end of the day, we may not rob banks and punch our neighbors. Well, some of us might do. I don't know what you get up to in the week. But God's grace is far greater than any of the sins that I commit on a daily basis, which I'm very grateful for. But there's also this element to God's grace that actually he gives us the power to overcome the sin in our life so that we can live free of it. The gospel of Jesus is powerful to deliver us from the power of sin. And so Paul goes on and he starts to describe sin and righteousness like two slave masters. He uses this example so that we can understand it. And he says, wherever you submit yourselves, that to whatever you submit yourself, that's what enslaves you. So you've got two options here. You're either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. And you really couldn't get two more different slave masters here. So you've got sin that leads to death and slavery that leads... slavery to sin that leads to death and slavery to righteousness that leads to eternal life. Now you may think to yourself, well, I don't really want to be a slave to anything. I mean, a lot of modern people would say that. Oh, I'm not going to follow anybody. I'm just going to do my own thing. But actually, there's no middle ground here. Whether you like it or not, you're either a slave to one or the other. There's no real middle ground either. And before we were Christians, before we knew the Lord, before Jesus became Lord of our lives, we didn't really have any option. We were just slaves to sin. Whether you realize it or not, the things that you did, the way you lived your life, you had no choice, no other option. There was no way out because sin is a powerful force, and in many situations, in every situation, there's always that temptation, and it will nearly always get the better of you because sin is a powerful, powerful force. We were talking about gossip last week. We've been talking about gossip all week. But that sounds wrong, doesn't it? We haven't been gossiping all week, I hope. But as we've talked about it and understanding what gossip really is, it's very, very addictive almost, gossip, isn't it? Just mention someone's name. Oh, let me just tell you about them. Ooh. And off we go. It's like somebody just pushes you over the slope on skis. It's like, wow. Off we go, never mind, we're here now. And we start, let me tell you about so-and-so, blah, 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 off we go. That sin is a powerful force. And there's no way of getting out of it. But now, by God's grace, through Jesus, we've been set free from the slavery of sin, it says here. And we can become slaves, and we have become slaves of righteousness. It says, verse 17, but thanks be to God. Though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from the heart the pattern of teaching that now has claimed your allegiance. God has caused us to obey him from the heart. He's changed our heart. He's renewed our heart. He's done something inside us that has kind of rewired who we are. And if you notice, this is the difference, again, between the religion and the old way, the old covenant and the new covenant, because religion will tell you, keep working at it. Keep doing good things and work from the outside in and just try it. Just keep trying at it. Keep trying. And eventually from the outside you will change. You will never get to change the inside by working from the outside to the inside. Yeah. I don't mean to sound political, but this is Reg's catchphrase. It used to be. Now he's retired. He doesn't say it anymore. Part of the problem with any government policy nowadays, and I'm not being political, but this is, I'm not saying Conservative or Labour, is that actually what it's trying to do is fix a problem with society by fixing it from the outside in. Why do we have the problem of all the problems? I don't know. I'm not even going to go there. But God does something else. He changes the heart and fixes the problems from the inside out, whatever it is. Now, I'm not saying we don't vote, we don't sort of, you know, go... God's given us leaders in the country. But at the end of the day, we need to know the gospel is the thing that works for everybody, because it changes people from the inside. And this is what he's saying here. You've been transformed now from your heart, inside out. This is God's work. You can't do that. He kind of does heart surgery on us. And now you were slaves to sin and free from righteousness, but now he says you've been rewired, you've been changed inwardly, and now you can serve righteousness. You can be free from sin. And in verse 19, there's another call to actively live in this new reality. It's not doing something that makes that a reality, but it's actually you are now free from sin, so live in it. Because remember in verse 11, he said, consider yourself. That was that kind of get it into your head that this is now true. Because actually those people who have been slaves to sin for however long, it doesn't mean how, you have to kind of think, oh, that's not how I live anymore. I now live like this. I need to rewire my mind. In verse 13, he says, offer yourselves to righteousness and not to sin anymore, because that's not your way anymore. Again, he says in verse 19, you used to offer yourselves as slaves to sin. Now offer yourselves to slaves as righteousness. You used to offer yourselves to impurity, ever-increasing wickedness. This is the thing with sin. It doesn't ever get any better. It only gets worse. But now you can offer yourselves to righteousness leading to holiness. And holiness is who you and I were created to be. We were created to be holy people. You think, what me? I can't be holy. Yeah, again, you're thinking because you can't do it. No, you can't do it. But actually, God has made you holy. God has made you holy if you put your faith in Christ. God designed us to be image bearers of himself, didn't he? He made us in his image. He is a holy God. He made us to be holy people, set apart for him, to represent him. And now through Christ, he's given us that title. He's given us that ability. So you've just got to live in that. That's really who we are now. Dead to the old and alive to the new. The Bible says we are a new creation. It's good stuff, isn't it? Thank you. I think it is. I think it's good. It's very freeing. Now Moses, remember Moses, he said, see, I set before you today good and death. So good, life and good, death and evil. And that's what's being presented here. And I want us to look at this. You've either got sin that leads to death, because the wages of sin are death, or you've got righteousness, which leads to eternal life. And you've got two directions to travel. Which way are you going to go, Paul's saying? Are you going to go the death way, or are you going to go the eternal life way? The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, wages, literally, I mean, maybe it sounds a bit of an old-fashioned way of putting this, but actually it's like saying everything you do in sin, what it earns you, what you get at the end of the day, and your salary for sin is death. And by stark contrast, eternal life is what righteousness receives, and eternal life is a gift. God gives us it. It's given by God's grace. We don't deserve it. It's given by God. And I just want us to think a second about what is this eternal life? Because we bandy it about. I mean, we talk about it, get sort of mentioned at funerals, and we talk about it in church. But what is eternal life? That's an open question. I don't want to put anyone on the spot here. Eternal life. Oh, hang on a second. I can see on Keith's face. What is that? What is this? We talk about it. What's eternal life? Just give me a... Living forever. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And it is. Living forever. Life everlasting. And that is part of its meaning. And in a sense, it's the opposite to death, isn't it? Because death is a sort of an end. And eternal life is an ongoing living forever. Now, but let me ask you this question, though, because I think it's a little bit more than that. And I think that's what we all think. And we all immediately think eternal life, living forever, yes. And that's why it's good news that when somebody dies in faith in Christ, that they have everlasting life, because they're not, their body's dead, but they live, their spirit lives, and then there will be a resurrection, and those things, we hold on to that. But I just want to ask you a question. Would you really want to live eternally in the body we're living now, continually weakened? I mean, Daniel and Bryony, they prayed for my bad back last night, you know. I'm not the only one with a bad back, and we've all got, you know, some of us are sniffling, and some of us have got this, that, and the other. I mean, would we really want to live eternally in this condition? Would we really want to live eternally in the kind of the decay that the world we know has? And would we really want to live eternally with all the stuff we read in the news and the stuff that goes on in our lives all for the rest of it turns out. My mum has said, she's not looking forward to death, but she said, I don't really want to live forever, she said, because in her mind, it's like, why would you want it? Because it's pretty grim, really. If you think about it, we're doing this. Even actually, if you've got a reasonably good life, even if you're just eating sort of your favourite ice cream and looking out on a great view every day, eventually that's going to get boring, isn't it? There's only so much Haagen-Dazs I can eat. I'll be honest with you. I love it. Do bring it next week, though, if you want to. I mean, you know, it takes a while. But what I'm saying is, you know, I mean, eternity, do we really want to be living eternity within the limitations that we know now? I don't think that is all eternal life is, because I think eternal life is, yes, living forever, but there is a quality to that life that is beyond what we know now. Otherwise, there's no point, is there? Yeah? And actually, I think we need to preach that to the people around us, because if we say, yes, God will give you eternal life, and they just think, oh, well, that's just everlasting life. At the end of the day, most of people's lives in the world today, they don't want that to go on forever. Who wants to be paying taxes forever, you know? I mean, even if it's just that, you know? That's not a great outreach message. You know? You're going to live forever paying taxes and being sick. I don't know whether that's a great message. But actually, that isn't the message it's been. Eternal life is not just length or quantity. There's quality to it. There's quality. There's something different about eternal life that is different to the life that we know now. And eternal life has the qualities of righteousness and holiness and freedom from sin. And we need to understand that when we put our faith in Christ, we enter into that eternal life now, it's here. So it's not just something that happens, oh, I've got eternal life when I die, then I don't die, then I kind of live forever, that's all right. Yes, but now, here and now, eternal life begins. That quality of life happens now. So we're born again into an eternal life. Eternal meaning everlasting, eternal meaning also a completely different quality of life, free from the reign of sin and alive to the reign of righteousness. Now you might think, well, what's the change there? Think about how sin affects your life and the world around you. What does it look like? What does the wages of sin look like? Think about it. I mean, we considered gossip, didn't we, last week? When gossip happens, what does it do? It kills another person's reputation. Dead, doesn't it? I mean, you never think, and I've heard someone say, you can't unsee something, you can't unhear something. Once it's heard, once it's spoken, once it's seen, that's it. Something dies. So if I'm going to tell you that Keith's an old, what's it? Something dies when that happens of him. And death sets in, doesn't it? And everyone goes, Keith, ooh. I think Keith's great, by the way, and you know that, don't you? Yeah. You know, when we do, gossip, it kills healthy relationships. Gossip kills trust, doesn't it? I mean, it's one of the things we talked about in our home groups. It's like, well, if I'm gossiping about Keith, and I'm gossiping to Sheila about Keith, Sheila's now thinking, what's he saying about me? When she's not listening, yeah? And that kills that relationship. So that's death there, death here. It's all going really well. That's what sins. That's the payback of sin. Think about anger. I mean, Jesus said anger is murder. So I mean, there again, you've got death from the outset. But you know, it brings death to someone's self-worth. When I'm angry with people and it gets vented, what does that do? I mean, it kills people's confidence. It kills relationship again. In some cases, it actually brings physical death, doesn't it? Adultery, that kills trust. That brings death to family relationships. I mean, how much of the world around us is destroyed because people haven't been faithful? Bitterness, that kills. I mean, I can go on. But do you see how sin, the wage of sin is death, in not just death as in something dies, but just the way of life, the quality of life, everything of life just gets killed, brings death to it. And in fact, this word for wages, it's an interesting word, it's a Greek word. I don't want to get too much into these Greek things, but it's a very specific thing. It's not just wages as, you know, you get from like your pay packet. This is actually quite specific. It's what a soldier, they would get instead of their pay almost. It's like their rations. It's their provisions. It's what they eat. So it's what they feed on. It's what they live on. Without this, they can't do what they do. So actually what it's saying here is your sin will just, it will feed you death. Your daily, in front of me, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. But actually your daily bread in sin is death. Remember Paul paints the bad news before we can know the good news? So he says the wages of sin is death. And all of that stuff I just said, that is not eternal life. Because he says, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus, we've been set free from sin and its wages, which is death. And we've given this new reality where we're slaves to righteousness. And this thing called eternal life, which is everlasting life, but it's everlasting life of a completely different nature. And if you consider how life-giving in righteousness is, I mean, even just in doing the encouragement, speaking encouragement, that brings life, doesn't it? Yeah? Keith just said, you know, you spoke to me and it brings life just a couple of minutes ago. Peacemaking rather than anger and fighting, that brings life, doesn't it? It's so nice to be in an environment. And so life-giving to be in an environment where people are just getting on. Faithfulness. I mean, this is one of the things that what we talk about in membership, actually, is a faithfulness to one another and a faithfulness to God. Faithfulness brings life. There is stability when people are faithful. Forgiveness brings life. How many stories have we heard of families that have been resurrected because forgiveness has happened in them? And how many, the other side is death comes to a family when there is unforgiveness, but forgiveness. Righteousness brings out a quality of eternal life. I have to say, in this world, I think it's only just a taste of eternal life, but nevertheless, it's what I love about church. That when church is working right, there's a taste of eternal life amongst us. And that's the gospel. This is the eternal life, this is the good life, if you like, that we have in Christ Jesus. And I think many people nowadays, they think the good life is a higher salary or more possessions or more friends or a higher status, some good food, holidays, fast cars, fast bikes, depends what your liking is. Or maybe you can think more basic things. Those are quite sort of superficial things. Maybe you think, well, as long as I've got my health, as long as I've got basic provisions, just a bit of food on the table and the shelter over my head, then that's good life. And those things are good, but actually the root of all good life is eternal life, which is freedom from sin, which is righteousness and holiness. We are dead to sin and its wages. We're born again to eternal life. And that's the quality of life. I tell you, it's a quality of life. And so Paul can say, whether I have everything or I have nothing, whether I'm being persecuted or whether it's good times or bad times, I know that I'm all right because I have eternal life. And it's a whole different quality of life. It transcends which way the wind's blowing, here and now. Transcends it. We're born again into eternal life. Jesus says this. Now this is eternal life, that they know you. He's talking to God. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. See, eternal life is that being right with God, living in righteousness and knowing God and just having that holiness. And it transforms our lives here and now. So whether we have much or little, sickness or health, war or peace, joy or mourning, whatever it is, wherever we are, we can still live in the blessings of God's eternal life. Now yesterday morning, just as a very, very trivial example, but this, I was just thinking, I have to apply this. I always have to, when I come to these things, and this needs to be real in my life. And yesterday morning, My Saturday routine is usually this. I get up as early as I can, which isn't really that early, especially in the dark. And I try and go out for a ride on my bike just for an hour or so. And in my mind, I had it planned. I was going to do 25 miles. It was about more than an hour. Had it planned. Got to the shed. Puncture. Okay, I've got a spare tube. I can fix this. Put the tube on. That then exploded. It was quite impressive. Blew the tire off the bike. Then I'm trying to fix the puncture with my... I've never been very good at. An hour and a half later, I have travelled the total distance of my shed to my patio. Yeah, I was going to do 25 miles. And I got so frustrated. And the kids are having breakfast. And I could just see where this is going to go, because I'm getting frustrated. And what happens when you get frustrated with this thing? What happens to them? They get both barrels of my frustration, don't they? Has anyone ever done that? No, you're the holy people here. So then I had to take the dog for a walk, which is, of course, a passion of mine. And as I'm walking the dog, I had to say, I've got to choose eternal life now. This could have ruined my day, and then I could have ruined everyone else's day because I got frustrated. Now, this may sound really trivial to you, but this happens, doesn't it? One little thing tips you over the edge, and you think, oh, so, and I am frustrated. I've got two split inner tubes, and you know, blah, blah, blah. But I've got to live an eternal life. God help me. And so from then on, eternal life kicked in again. And everything was good. We had a good day. I've still got two inner tubes to fix. I think I'll go to the bike shop and buy two new ones. But this is where God intervenes in situations. That's a very trivial thing. But that happens on the small to the great things, doesn't it? Where we can just say, God, I need your help to overcome this. I need your strength to overcome where we are now so I can live in eternal life. I've still got all this brokenness here. I've still actually got broken inner tubes or broken whatever it is, but actually I can live differently in this now because of what you have done. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. It's as simple as that. So Moses says, and I say to you this morning, death or eternal life, you choose. A life of death, because that's what without Christ, that's what life is. Without, if we don't live in the fullness of Christ, then that's what life becomes, actually. It's just the wages of sin is death. But or do we want to live in a life with eternal qualities? An eternal life is not something that we get by being good at the end of our life. It's not that at all, actually. It's eternal life is God's gift to us here and now that is eternal in length, but it's also eternal in its quality. It's God's grace to us. Offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. Live in eternal life, free from sin. We have that choice now. We can be free from sin. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you for these words, for this truth. We thank you for your Spirit poured out on us. We thank you for Jesus Christ coming to this world. And I don't think we really still even have a... There's so much we don't know. There's so much we haven't even grasped. And I pray, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts continually to receive more of you and to receive more of this gospel. And there'll be, even right now, there'll be stuff in us where we're thinking, yeah, that's all good, but actually, at the end of the day, I still can't overcome this, or I still can't do this, or I'm still not good enough at this, or I still don't do this well enough. But Lord, I pray, come and overcome us again by your grace, and transform us inside out, and let us know that we are transformed inside out, and make us new, that we may live in the eternal life you've given us. It's not even something we need to strive for, but it's something you've given us. You've gifted us with eternal life through faith in Christ. And I pray for us now that if we are doubting that, let us be full of a faith. Fill us with your faith to just put our trust completely in what you have done. I pray, open our hearts to receive your grace, eternal life. And I pray very specifically where there are people here that have pressing situations, circumstances beyond their control, things that are going completely wrong, death effectively around them. I pray, let them live in eternal life now. There'll be a quality of life that is different, that transcends what's going on here and lifts us all into the reality of what it is to live in your kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus. Bring us into the truth more and more. Let us move from the old to the new. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I encourage you just to keep reading this book of Romans. It literally changes your life. Changed my life. Keep reading it. We'll keep preaching it. And I look forward to seeing and hearing testimonies of what it's doing. Anyway. Changed my day yesterday. Seriously did. Seriously did. I mean, it's just that's just one day. But, yeah. Bless you. If you want to grab a tea and coffee, it's that way. If you came with children, make sure.